more than we could ever put into words. There are some things that are just indescribable, and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to a sinful mankind is one of those things that's hard to imagine, but yet we have that given to us by the Lord. And the book of Jude, where we'll be this morning, calls it a common salvation. And that's what I want to deal with this morning. Hadn't been just a few weeks we were in Jude, and we used some of these same verses. But Jude only has 25 verses, but you could find multiple subjects out of each one of the verses. And we're going to be reading verse number 1, verse 2, and verse number 3. About a month ago, we dealt with these verses concerning those that have gone astray, those that have crept in unaware. But this morning I want to deal with the two little words that are found here in these verses. And it's the words common salvation. So let's read together in Jude. And verse number 1 says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God and the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Here in these verses, Jude says, when I wrote to you, and I wrote to you concerning this common salvation, he says, it was needful that I write and encourage you to contend for the faith. And about a month ago, we dealt with that subject of contending and struggling for the faith that is true and has been handed down to each of us. But this morning, it's imperative that we understand, and it's imperative that the whole world really understands that salvation is that gift that comes from God, and it's offered to all men, and therefore it is called a common salvation. The common salvation, no matter what we've done in our past, thank God we can be saved. There are some folks that teach you can't be saved if you've done certain things. There are folks that tell us that there are people that have gone beyond the grace of God. And I do not agree with those teachings. I believe God's grace can find us wherever we are. And God's grace can find us whenever He desires. And He can deal with us whichever way He wants to deal with us. And I believe He offers to us this that is called common salvation. Brother Hagg and I were talking the other day about folks that sometimes think you cannot get saved or because of, and just not grace is not available to them. I couldn't think of the verse offhand I wanted to give him, but I want to read it to you this morning. There's two or three verses here in 1 Corinthians that I believe tells us that we, everybody, anywhere, in any condition, I believe can become a recipient of the grace of God and have salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? That's very simple. The unrighteous, those that are not saved, cannot and will not inherit the kingdom of God. He says, be not deceived. And he gives a list here of different types of people. And he says, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So here's all type of people that are lost. And because they're lost, they are this type of people. And they're not lost because they are doing these things. They are doing these things because they're lost, doing what is natural for them. But notice verse number 11. And Paul now is writing. He's talking and giving his message from the Holy Spirit. And he is giving these words under inspiration, writing to Christian people of the church of Corinth. He says, "And such were some of you." To me, that's pretty plain. In the church of Corinth, there was extortioners. In the church of Corinth, there was idolaters. In the church of Corinth, there was adulterers. There was fornicators. There were those thieves and all those things that are listed there that that sort of are classified and are given to us, us as unrighteous. And they are there in that church. And Paul says, "And such were some of you." But thank God for the next part of the verse. It says, "But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." The key words, I believe, in this passage are those words I just focused on. Such were some of you. How many of us this morning would want to identify where we were before the Lord saved us? It may be that we were a drunkard. Maybe we were reveling in the world. Maybe we were thieves and extortioners and abusers of themselves. And by the way, those words, abusers of themselves with mankind, deals with a sexual abuse, which we call homosexuality. I've had preachers tell me they didn't believe that those type of people could ever go to heaven. They can if they get saved. They can if they believe the Word of God. If they come to the Lord Jesus Christ and confess their sins, the Lord will save them just like anybody else. And so in this church of Corinth that Paul knew so much about, I believe he could key in on the type of people that made up that church. They wasn't the high society church. They wasn't the church that everybody might would want to be a part of, because this is what they used to be. They were extortioners, they were drunkards, they were thieves, they were covetous. They were guilty of all kinds of unrighteousness. But they were washed. Thank God for the washing of the water of the Word of God. Thank the Lord for the washed in the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. They were washed. They were sanctified. The word sanctified means they were taken out of one kingdom and it's put aside into another kingdom, leaving the kingdom of darkness, and now they're in the kingdom of the dear Son of God. Such were they. They were justified. They were saved. The biblical term that we would use is that they had a common salvation. They had that given to them. Here we find the book of Jude, this little epistle that is written right before Revelation. He is writing concerning the apostasy that was present in his day and that would be present in the day to come, which I believe is today. I heard Pastor David Jeremiah say this morning on his broadcast, he said, "The last days have become our day." And I believe that's true. Those last days that are spoken about in Peter and Jude and other places of the Scripture, they are prevalent. Those days are prevalent right now. And so these last days that we talk about have become our day that we're living in and struggling in. Apostasy is everywhere, and Jude deals with that. He talks about, in 2 Peter, damnable heresies. We dealt with all that just a few weeks ago. The spirit of Antichrist was there then, and guess what? The spirit of Antichrist is here now to diminish and to tear down the very things of the Word of God. The spirit of Antichrist was very prevalent in the disciples' day, and so it is now. 1 John chapter 4, verse 3 says, "And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God." You turn on your TV, you turn on your radio, and you'll find everything imaginable. And many of them will deny the very existence of the eternal work of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will deny the salvation that God gives to us as everlasting. And the Scripture says here that is the spirit of Antichrist, or against God. Christ. The very foundation of our faith is now under attack very strongly. And by the way, if we don't understand this, not everyone sitting in the pews of the church are saved. There's a lot of people that have come in a lot of different ways, and they're not born again, and so, but they're sitting there in the church, and they have their conscience soothed that they're doing something good for God. Not everyone that sits in the pew of churches loves the Lord. I don't believe that's true about our church. I don't believe it's true about Grace Baptist and many of the churches that we know, but I'm talking about churches around our country. There are many churches that are filled with unregenerate people that do not love God, and they do not love the Lord, and they do not love the Word of God. They have come in very quietly and subtly. Before we get into this little epistle, we find a description of this word, common salvation. It would take a number of weeks, really, to go through the book of Jude, even though it's a small book. And the common salvation, it's not referring to something that's cheap or inexpensive. It cost God His Son. That's a very high cost that God paid, and it's a high cost that Jesus paid. God gave His Son. His Son gave His life that we, the prisoners of sin and the prisoners of Satan, might go free. God commended His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, verse number 8. So it's not commonly cheap. It's not something that's not worth much. The word common there doesn't mean something that there's a lot of, because the Scripture says we enter in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. So there's not a lot of folks, majority of people really are not going to heaven. I believe the Scripture teaches that most people are not going to heaven because straight and narrow is the way. And so this word common here means that it's the same for every one of you and I. I'm glad this morning that I have the same salvation that you have. I could go around the congregation this morning and we could talk about our salvation, and we'd find out we had a lot of things in common when we got saved. We will find out that we're the same type of people. We're sinners. We loved the world. We loved where we were. We desired to stay where we were. But thank God salvation came to us, and you and I have much in common this morning because of this salvation. It doesn't matter where we are on the ladder of success or failure. It doesn't matter where we are concerning our social standing. Salvation is common to every person. It doesn't matter if it's in this country or another country. These flags hanging around here represent multiple of millions and billions of people that need the Lord, and many of them have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ through the work of missions and missionaries, and so therefore we have much in common with them because we're all saved the same way. We're all saved by the grace of the Lord. Now if we listen to, I'll call it Christendom, if we listen to the voice of religion this morning, you will be completely confused in your life spiritually. If you turn on your TV, if you turn on your radio, for the most part, you'll find all kind of voices clamoring, and they're desiring your attention, they're desiring your dollar, they're desiring everything you have to be focused on them. But if you listen real close to what they believe, you don't want to focus on them. We need to keep our eyes upon the Lord. There are a lot of different ideas. I listed just a few. Some say that salvation is the work of a personal merit that someone has. God chose me, God has me because of look who I am. Now there's some people believe that. I got news for them. God, when He looked and saw you, He saw you the same way as He sees everybody else in the world lost without Him. Some folks will teach you that salvation is a mixture of works and personal faith. Well, that sounds good, but that's just not right. Salvation, we don't go to heaven because of our faith and what we do for the Lord. We don't work our way into heaven. It's not of works, lest any man should boast, Paul says in Ephesians 2. So it's not according to our merit. It's not according to our works and our faith. Some say that you have to go through the watery grave of baptism in order to go to heaven. There are some that will tell you have to be a member of their church to go to heaven. I've been accused of saying that and believing that. I don't believe that. I believe people go to heaven from anywhere they are. It doesn't matter what little tag they put on themselves. If they believe the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him, they're going to heaven. And so we find there are those that say you have to be a member of their church, or some that say there's another way. There's many ways. Some teach you and will believe that you must endure to the end, that you've got to hold on, hold out, get to the very end of life, and then maybe you'll make it. They have no assurance of salvation. I'd be afraid of those things, because I'm afraid at the end I might falter sometime, and I'd leave this world without turning back to the Lord. But the correct thing that we need to understand this morning, what I'm trying to focus in on, is that salvation, we go to heaven one way. And I'm not telling you anything you do not know. We believe this. We teach this. We practice this, that we go to heaven by our faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. Plus nothing, minus nothing. If you go to heaven, you go to heaven believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that He did there that day upon Calvary's tree. Now, if you add anything to that, you don't have salvation. You have something that maybe resembles it. You have something maybe that will make you feel okay. But I'll tell you what, I don't want to stand before God being lacking in some areas of believing and trusting and find out that I was told wrong. We need to believe what the Scripture says to us. Characteristics of those that are born in the same family. It's an amazing thing to me when I look at families, some of the characteristics that families have. I was watching a fellow the other day, and he didn't know his dad hardly at all, but yet he had some of the very same characteristics of his father. It was not that it was seen or learned, but it was just part of that family. Certain things there, not just facial features, not just the bodily features, but the actions and sometimes the laugh and sometimes the words and expressions that are made. And it's all because we're in that family and it's common to us. Somebody told me not too long ago, they said, you look and act just like your mother. I don't take that a compliment or not. Sometimes that wasn't too good for my part. But we have family traits. And you and I this morning, we're in a family called the family of God. And we have some of the same traits. We have this common salvation. We've all been called from sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. We've all been called from vanity to purpose. We've all been called from ungodliness to holiness. We've all been called from dishonor to honor. God makes us a new creature in Christ. And therefore we take up some of His traits and some of His ways. Sharon and I were talking the other day about someone that made some movements and expressions that looked just like their father. And that's part of what we are. That's the family that we are in. I can look around the congregation this morning and I can see certain things in people's lives that has come down not because they've learned certain things, but it's just part of their life. That's just the way they are. I can call Don Taylor and I can call Seth Taylor, and sometimes I can't tell which one I'm talking to. Maybe I dialed the wrong number because there's some traits there that are identical. And so we find that as a Christian, we have characteristics as a believer. We are saved. It is a birth that we have. We're not just placed into. We are birthed into the family of God. Our family is a big family. Thank God it's not just a few people, but it's worldwide. And it doesn't matter where you go. When you find Christians, you'll find some traits that are the same. We are saved, and we have salvation is as a birth given to us. And by the way, there's no exception to that. We must be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus there in John chapter 3. Nicodemus came to Him and Jesus said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus said, how can that be? I'm an old man. How can I be birthed again? Can I enter again into the second time into my mother's womb? And Jesus said, no, I'm talking about a spiritual birth. You must be born again. You have a physical birth that puts you in an earthly family, and thank God we have a spiritual birth that puts us in a godly family, the family of God. And we are birthed into that family, and it's by faith in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. What is that? It's the Word of God. I'm glad we're birthed this morning. We are placed in the family of God because we have an incorruptible message. We have a message that's pure and true and given to us in His Word. Incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Acts chapter 16, verse 30 says, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What do I have to do to be saved? That Philippian jailer, he had heard the message. He had heard the singing. He'd seen the rattling of the jail prison. He'd seen everything that took place that night. And he was about to kill himself. And they say, don't do yourself any harm. And he comes along with the question a little later, says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Very simple question. I think I have it in my Bible, the most simple question about salvation anywhere in the Scripture. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Well, that simple question brought about a very simple answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall. What must I do? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shall be saved. And then added three little words to that also, and thy house. So this morning what we have is a salvation that is real. And if we confess the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that He's raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. We'll have the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 6, and verse number 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection or completeness, adulthood, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. Repentance and faith is necessary for salvation. If a person doesn't repent of their sin, they're not going to get saved. They've not come to the Lord the biblical way. If they don't have faith, then there's no salvation. And so we find our common salvation is in a finished work that took place one day upon Calvary. As it is God that has begun a good work in us, it is He that will perform it in us until the day of redemption. What God started in my life back there when I was a young boy, He is still working in that life and in that soul and in my heart, and He's bringing me about one day to complete perfection in Him when I stand before Him in the Lord. He that began a good work, He will complete it. He'll finish it, and He'll take care of it. That tells us that in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. The verse reads, and being confident of this very thing, Paul says, I have confidence. Sometimes y'all go through the writings of the Apostle Paul and find out how many times or how much he was confident in the things of the Lord. He said, I'm confident, I'm sure. And he says here that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Romans 11:36, for of him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. So we find that the Apostle Paul recognized this thing of common salvation. He recognized that it began with the Lord, it continues with the Lord, and it will finish with the Lord. He that began will finish that. And that's pretty much what Jude tells us here concerning this salvation that's common to all of us. Now all of us in here this morning more than likely got saved at a different place. Probably got saved at a different time. But we have a common thread that goes through our salvation because of who we were, what we were, what God did with us, and what He's continually doing with us in our life and our actions even today. In our common salvation, we find a sanctification that is multiplied by the mercy of the Lord. I know that sanctification is a big word. It just means we've been saved. He has sanctified us. He has made us righteous. We didn't make ourselves righteous. He made us righteous. He has taken us out of the kingdom of darkness and placed us in the kingdom of the dear Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have salvation. And it happened to everyone. It separates us from and consecrates us to. He separates us from the world of wickedness and sinfulness. He separates us and takes us out of that kingdom, and He puts us into a new kingdom and consecrates us as we serve Him and live for Him. We are sanctified through His will. God has a will. If I've said this once, I've said it 1,000 times, probably more than that. But God has a will for every born-again Christian. God doesn't save you and say, well, now you just sit over here and figure out what you're supposed to do. That's where a lot of people stay. They're just trying to figure out, what does God want me to do? Does God want me to do anything? I'm not too hip on doing things, so I don't think I'll do anything. And that's where so many Christians find this. But God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. You know, a lot of young people today, and a lot of adults, they find out, they feel like there's just no purpose in their life. Why am I here? How did I get here? Why am I here? Where am I going? And those questions of life continually bombard their minds. And the Scripture gives us the answer to every one of those questions. Why am I here? Where am I going? How am I going to get there? All those questions are answered in the Word of God. And for the Christian, God has a will for our life. God has a purpose for our life. We find that in the Word of God. He says in John chapter 15, verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. He says, I have given you life, I've given you eternity, I've given you salvation, and He says, so I have chosen you to go bring forth fruit. He doesn't tell us here that we've been chosen to salvation, and there is an aspect of that, but that's not what John is talking about. He said, I've chosen you that and ordained that you should go bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. God says, here's the purpose. Here's my will. Go bear fruit. Let people know you're a Christian. Put up the flag of Christ. Put up the message of Christ. Live it in your life. Serve the Lord. Be busy and active in the will of God and the work of God and the church of the Lord. Be active in the things that God has for us. God says, here's that will. He said, I've chosen you and I've ordained that you should bring forth fruit, and that fruit will remain and it will abound. We are sanctified through His Word. We're taken into the Word of God and we learn and we have growth. You know why a lot of Christians don't grow much in their life? Because they don't go to school much. They don't go to church much. They don't serve the Lord much. They don't do anything to awaken the spiritual senses that God has given to them. So therefore, they sit dormant and they sit not doing things and not happy in the work of the Lord. And we find that will through His Word. In our common salvation, we not only find sanctification, but we find security. The fruit of our security is multiplied peace. He gives us peace in our heart and our life. We are powerfully kept. I'm glad this morning that my going to heaven does not determine on my living down here. I'm glad me going to heaven, if I die today, I'm glad it's not determined on how I live today. If I die tomorrow, it's not determined on how I live tomorrow. My going to heaven is determined by what I did one day with the Lord Jesus Christ by trusting Him as my personal Savior. And we are kept powerfully. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, who are kept by the power of God. I'll tell you what, I'd rather have that power as any other power. The power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We are powerfully kept. Thank God we are permanently kept. I'm glad when the Lord saved me. He sealed me unto that great day of redemption there in heaven. John 10:28, I have given to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never perish. He says, I give to them what kind of life? A little while life? A few years life? Eternal life. What is eternal life? Look up eternal, and it's going to come back, and you'll find out it's everlasting. You look up everlasting, you're going to find out never ending. And so that's the kind of life, that's the kind of common salvation that a Christian has. Powerfully kept, permanently kept. You see, I believe one of the greatest verses in the Bible for eternal life is found when the religious crowd stands before God at the great white throne. Now, when you get to the great white throne judgment, you're headed the wrong direction. You're there because you are not a Christian. And here's this crowd that comes up, and they're religious. They go to church all the time. They said, Lord, did we not do many mighty works in thy name? Lord, did we not cast out demons in thy name? Lord, why are we here? Didn't we do all these good things? That's part of that crowd that tries to add everything to grace. Lord, didn't we accomplish all those good things? Many mighty works. And the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to me puts a nail in the coffin concerning my eternal life. Jesus said, sorry, I never knew you. Now those are pretty powerful words. We believe the Scripture, we believe the Word of God. Let's just look and see what it says. Jesus said, I'm sorry. I never did know you. I never knew you. He doesn't say, I knew you and then I cast you aside. He said, I never knew you. There's no relationship there ever. And so we find that we are permanently, powerfully kept. Thank God it's a perfect salvation. Verse number 24 of our text chapter here this morning, or book, says in verse number 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to him, the Bible says here, he that is able, thank God he is able to keep me. I'm not able to do it myself. He's able. Our common salvation, we find, is that which has given to us security of life. And I find that this common salvation was given to us by sovereign God. Don't be afraid of the word sovereign. A lot of people have mishandled it, misused it. And so we should not fear truth of it. My God is a sovereign God. That means He does what He wants and desires to do. On our planet, there are nations that have kings. You know what they are called? They are called sovereigns. Well, we serve a sovereign that's far better and greater than they. We serve a sovereign God. We serve a God that does and pleases and works that we might have life. He tells us in Matthew 22:14, for our many are called, few are chosen, few are saved. The difference is the choice. The gospel is presented. What are we going to do with it? The gospel is given. How are we going to handle it? Well, it's given to many, but few people accept it and believe it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. He's writing now to another church. He says, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. You see, God can do what He chooses. And here this verse, don't let it throw you. This verse says, God from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Now, don't stop there. That's not a period. It goes on. Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. You know how you're going to go to heaven? You know how you know you've been given blessings in life? If you believe the truth and have life eternal, then you are the chosen of God. That's what it says. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. There's a group of people that believe you don't even have to hear the message of salvation. If you're the elect of God, you're going to heaven regardless. That's not what the Bible teaches. Faith comes by hearing. Sanctification of the Spirit, the setting aside of the Spirit out of one world to another. We've already dealt with that. And belief of the truth. We've already dealt with that. Salvation, common salvation. And thank God what we have this morning is a sovereign conversion from a God that never lies. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's the way of man. Well, the opposite of that, the way of God, is that which is life and life eternal. A way that seems right to man leads to death. Well, on the other side of the coin, the way that's right seems right to God is the way of life, common salvation. This morning, if we could take testimonies, how'd you get saved? I've heard some of your, I've probably heard all your testimonies down through the years. Where were you? What was the circumstances? How did it happen? What was transpired? All those things are different. All those things different. I remember Tom and Carrie's testimony. Somebody came to their house and they got saved. I remember other testimonies. I got saved in church. I got saved at home. I got saved by reading the Word of God. God convicted me. I didn't have anybody. Wasn't there. I just trusted the Lord. You see, salvation, sometimes we have it so complicated. Salvation is just simply believing the truth. Common to all of us. We're going to heaven this morning because we have a common salvation. What happened to Brother Earl whenever the day that was? Happened to me one day in my life. What happened to Jay one day? What happened to Brother Bradley or Teresa or Barbara? Put your name there. What happened to you one day happened to me because it's a common salvation. It's not cheap. It's not just flippantly. It's a common salvation in that we all go to heaven the same way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's pretty common. Everybody goes the same way. Somebody said, well, I'm going to go first class. You can't beat the Lord's class. I want to go this way. I want to go. There's only one way. And that's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's not what our denomination teaches us. It's not what our moms and dads maybe have taught us. It's not what our friends tell us. Salvation is what the Word of God tells us. And sometimes it's very difficult to unlearn some things that we've learned. I was taught some things. We all have been taught some things that we've changed our minds on. There's some things I've changed my mind that what I was taught. I was in a good church, had a good preacher, but by my own study and reading, there's some things that he and I would differ on and disagree. But when it comes to salvation, thank God we agree. Thank God we have a common salvation. Let's stand together this morning.